There shall be a great valley, a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove northward, and half of it move southward. And ye, because it's an address by Zechariah to the remnant of God's people still in that city, ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. We're already up there with him. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. That's what's going to follow the conflagration. Everywhere you turn in God's book, you find these gatherings. This pointing to a final conflagration, focusing on that point where we started today, Har Megiddo, the Mount of Megiddo, the sixth angel, and back to Revelation 16. You'd be better to listen, not try to follow it. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw. Now what has happened? We've gone through the terrible woes, the seven trumpets. Six vials follow that. The first one is the opening of the 16th chapter. A noisome and grievous sore fell upon men that had taken the mark of the beast. The second angel poured out his vial, and the rest of the sea became blood. The third angel poured out his vial, and the rest of the waters. You remember when wormwood fell, that star from heaven, a third was poisoned. The rest of the waters become blood. The fourth angel pours out his vial on the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire, and they were scorched with great heat. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seed of the beast, Antichrist, and his kingdom was full of darkness. Remember Zechariah thousands of years earlier? He wrote, he didn't know whether it was day or night when that great day came, but he came to execute judgment. The beast kingdom has been turned dark. They blasphemed God as they gnawed their tongues for pain. Then the sixth angel we've referenced poured out his vial, and the river was dried up, the river Euphrates, that the kings of the east might move in. Now take it all, and I know I'm taking 70-league boots. Ezekiel 38:9, the northern confederacy has come down. The western nations have assembled defensively to protect Israel. The kings of the east have the river Euphrates dried up by none other than God's angel to make them move into this area. God, it says in Zechariah, assembles. Daniel had seen as we preached, and I can leap through that like a racehorse. In the second chapter of Daniel, he saw the kingdoms to flow out of Nebuchadnezzar, the head of gold being the old Babylonian kingdom, the shoulders and arms of silver, the Medo-Persian empire, the thighs of brass, the Grecian empire, the legs of iron, the Roman empire, the toes of iron and clay, a revised or reconstituted 10 kingdoms out of the Roman Empire. He then sees the vision in the 7th chapter of Daniel. Beasts rising out of waters, troubled, emblem of the people in confusion. The first beast, the lion, Nebuchadnezzar's empire. The second beast, a leopard, a bear, rising up higher on one side than the other to symbolize the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire, but one a little stronger than the other, followed by the leopard with four heads, the picture of the Grecian Empire that breaks into four as the generals under Alexander the Great divide his kingdom up. Then he narrows it down to just two kingdoms. The ram, which was the Medo-Persian, and the he-goat with the prominent horn being Alexander the Great, that comes so fast to smite the ram and conquer the Medo-Persian Empire, because God takes the magnifying glass of prophecy and focuses in on that particular kingdom led by a demoniac spirit called the Prince of Grecia, out of which will come the final world ruler in opposition to God. So that he-goat becomes the Grecian Empire, smiting the Medo-Persian. Its horn is broken off in its prime, Alexander the Great, and in its place come little horns. And out of the little horns rises up another little horn that supplants. And you have history written by Daniel that the Babylonian Empire, long before he got to it, would be conquered by a double empire, the Medo-Persian, one rising up later but becoming stronger, followed by a Grecian Empire moving so fast. And when we think of Greece, some people think of that little peninsula in the Mediterranean. Alexander the Great moved the Grecian Empire to Babylon. He conquered clear into India, and on his death, the kingdom broke into four. The Seleucid Empire covered Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran of today, and clear over to the edge of India. We have the seat of Iraq and Iran and Assyria, the Seleucid portion of the Grecian Empire. And in the 10th and 11th chapters of Daniel, he changes from imagery to prose. There shall rise up one king who will supplant three of the other kings of the old Grecian Empire, to whom 10 kings of the Roman Empire, which included the Grecian Empire, would give their power. And this Antichrist, we then will see, will be empowered with a beast out of the bottomless pit, who demoniac-wise gives him strength. A false prophet will cause people to bow down and take his name. The kings of the earth will give him power, and Israel will make a covenant with him. Then his true colors will be revealed, and he, as the beast, will hear a tidings out of the north and the east that trouble him. He will return from conquering Egypt, and the stage will be set for Armageddon. How does everybody get gathered? I saw three unclean spirits, the 16th chapter says, after the Euphrates is dried up, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are the spirits of devils. The Greek is daemons, from which we get demons. There's only one devil, Diabolos. This is a mistranslation. For they are the spirits of demons, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Now this has been misused 1,000 times by preachers as a type of the rapture. The rapture has already taken place. Indeed, more than one rapture has taken place. The 144,000, the man-child, the church, the 24 elders are up there. John has been caught up. This is not the rapture. Behold, I come as a thief. They've gathered at that plain of Megiddo. The unclean spirits brought them there. God ordered it. God planned it. God keeps his dominion. But the Lord's appearing to this world is going to surprise them. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. I wish, in fact, I brought it 3 Sundays and left it this time. I was going to bring the American Bible Society's Good News translation. It's a little more graphic. You don't have to spiritualize this verse. There is a catching away to meet the Lord in the air called the rapture. Antichrist cannot come to power until that which restrains him is removed. There is another surprise that this verse refers to. If I had the good news, it would say, blessed is he that guardeth his garments, lest he have to walk around the streets naked and get embarrassed. Friend, you don't have to guard your old frayed suit to make sure you're properly clothed at the rapture. How many know that God got the garment prepared? You don't have to worry about sailing through the top of your house naked. You'll be covered, friend. Changed in a twinkling of an eye. Even the wrinkles will drop off. You don't have to worry about your garment, friend. Antichrist, in fact, even Duke Majan can have all I got. It's the one still here. You better worry about this one. Ed Masry's been in the army. How would you like to be snatched off to a battleground naked? This is the context. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his clothes close by. So you can dress in a hurry, friend, lest he walk naked and they see his shame, because he gathered them together unto a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon. This is a gathering to the place called Megiddo. It is these demon spirits that are assembling all the people, that when Jesus comes, there will be such a vast assembly, including some 200,000 demon forces that are there, 200 million rather. The blood's going to flow to the bridles of the horses. They want to get that. Now let me go to Matthew 24. I'm about done with the text. The message is very short. And I told you, as I preached on Revelation, each time I come to a new section, I'm going to fill you so full and tamp it down. But as you saw us in the book of Daniel and in the patterning of world history, we keep coming back to it until it starts falling in place with insight. 24th chapter. Has confused a lot of people who take it as an address to the church. It is not. The rapture was not revealed in the Gospels. It was cloaked. And as Jesus said, he'd take people aside and would tell them parables. In some cases, he told parables to reveal truth. But to other occasions, he told parables to disguise truth, saying to his disciples who questioned him, unto you it is known to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But they weren't ready for the truth yet. God's seen people jump ahead of things and not apply the truth properly more than once. Jesus went out in the 24th chapter of Matthew, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple, pridefully going around the heritage of the Jews. Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Get your eyes off of this stuff. As he was going to take them and get their eyes off of the Passover and put them onto him. Get your eyes off of this, don't you know? The literal habitation of God himself in a tent of human flesh is in your midst. See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you concerning this temple, there shall not be left here one for another that shall not be thrown down. You can't imagine the shock to these disciples as he said that about their temple. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, tell us, what shall these things be? Now he's focusing on that address about the temple. The rest of the chapter has to do with his coming to the Jews. Except those are the Jews that accept the message of grace as brought by Paul, which is the wild olive branch graft that Paul talked about onto the tree of God's promised heritage, and will be caught up with the church. The Jews as a nation will be returned to by God in the 70th week of Daniel. And Jesus was addressing the Jews about their future. The rapture was yet to be revealed in the mysteries given to Paul. He tells them what's going to come to pass. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, and earthquakes in divers places, and all these are the beginnings of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. He goes on, wherefore ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. He's in the middle of the tribulation, when the Antichrist that has made peace with Israel will suddenly break the covenant that is referred to by Daniel in the middle of the 7-year period and reveal his true colors and sacrifice a pig or something. Many people think that this happened prior to the fall of the temple and everything in the Roman Empire days, as Epiphanes came down. Man, he's talking about the end of time, when the Antichrist will desecrate the worship of the Jews and reveal, and it's the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Then let them which be in Judah flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop. The message is to those in Judah. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. That again, what would the Gentile church care about the Sabbath day? They don't care. But if you are a practicing Jew, you only go a short distance on the Sabbath day, and you've got to stop. Pray this doesn't happen on the Sabbath, because the message is to the Jew. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. There shall arise false Christ, false prophets, shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore if they say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're right back now to Revelations 16. Those frogs went forth, spirits of demons working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Jesus said the same thing here. False voices going forth, speaking for the dragon, empowered by those frog-like demon spirits that give them the thoughts and the words that they say. Don't you be deceived, he's saying to his Jews. In the book of Revelation, I come as a thief. In Matthew 24, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Some say, how can it be lightning and thief? The concept is speed and surprise. As a thief sneaking on you, as lightning is gone before you hear the sound of it. Be ready. He's not talking to the church. He's telling his Jews, because two gatherings are going to happen. Jesus is going to hit the Mount of Olives, and it's going to split in half. And a valley is going to be prepared. And the Jews better be ready to run, to escape. Because the remnant's going to be spared as Armageddon is unleashed. The rest of the people in this world are going to be called in a hurry to battle. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For whithersoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light. And it goes on in Matthew, because Matthew accumulated sayings, he got parables, and he talks about one in a bed, or two in a bed, and one taken. And people have preached on that as the rapture. Let me wrap it up and go to the 17th chapter, which is the parallel passage. Even thus shall it be, 30th verse, Luke 17, in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. He isn't revealed to the whole world when He takes the church. We meet Him in the air. We're up there with Him. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that's in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night, there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken and the other shall be left. I've said for years, I don't know why the gay community doesn't use this verse, if this is the rapture, to prove it's okay for them to sleep together and the one that's saved will go in a rapture. This is the best text for the gay community in the Bible, if this is a picture of the rapture. Two men in the bed. In one bed. God's word specific. The one should be taken and the other should be left. Two women should be grinding together. The one should be taken and the other left. Two men should be in the field. The one should be taken and the other left. I asked what I asked 3 weeks ago. How many of you have heard sermons on this where that's the rapture? Come on. Not as many of you are honest today as you were 3 weeks ago. That's the old traditional interpretation, the rapture. I'm about done. Just read on. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Where are they going to be taken? Where's that guy in the bed that left going? Where's the one in the field taken to? They answered and said unto him, where, Lord? He said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. There are various words in Greek for the body. They have a different word for a body that would be laying in state. They have a very precise word for a carcass laying slain in battle. That's the word that's used here. Where, Lord? He said unto them, wheresoever dead carcasses slain in battle lie, thither will the angels be gathered together. Back to Revelation 19, John said, I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heavens, come, gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat of the flesh of kings, and of the flesh of captains, and of the flesh of mighty men, and of the flesh of horses, and of the flesh of them that sat upon them. That's the gathering of the fowls of the air for the carcasses slain in battle at Armageddon. You better pray you're not here when this gathering comes. And if you are here, you better pray you're left, not taken. This taking away is to gather them, those demon spirits with superhuman power. The frogs have gone out, and they're assembling and grabbing the people for the assembly. Look, the devil's in control down here. God's coming with His saints. A remnant, if they move fast, will be spared through that gap of the Jews through the Mount of Olives. But this is a gathering to Armageddon, the battle where the kings and the false prophet and the beast and the men of the earth assembled with them gather at a place called Armageddon. You better pray if you're here in that day. The Jews had better stay alert, because when God strikes that mount and it splits, they're to flee away. Because what follows is carnage. A sword goes forth out of His mouth. I don't know what He creates as He speaks it, but that sword is going to go, and blood will flow 200 miles to the bridle of the horses. called, or saw the angel and the sun call the birds together. And when God is finished, the beast is taken, the false prophet with him, these both cast into the lake burning with brimstone, the Lord as King of kings and Lord of all, with his saints behind him, has conquered. A remnant of his people have fled through the gap. Then John says, 20th chapter opening, I saw an angel come down from God out of heaven. Back a few chapters, Michael had fought in heaven and restricted him to the earth. And he was there on the earth. He's watched his beast and the false prophet be taken. Now the angel comes down having a key in his hand and a chain. And he lays hold on that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. Binds him 1,000 years and casts him into the bottomless pit. And John says, I saw a white throne. He that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth did flee away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're judged according to their works. Death and hell gave up the dead that were in them. The sea gave up the dead that were in it. Not the righteous dead. They went up with the saints, the ones to be judged at that white throne judgment. These all were judged according to the things were written, recorded of their life, falling short of God's glory. Whoever was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake burning with fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet had already been cast. Then John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and God himself shall be with them, and shall be their God, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God, and God shall wipe away. Be no more trouble then, Jim. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more weeping. Former things passed away. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. Then John gives that victory note. The voice out of the throne says, Behold, I make all things new. The millennium is going in between. We'll be preaching on that. God puts the final chapter in. Now, I say the same thing I've said for 5 consecutive Sundays. What about us? Paul wrote to Thessalonians, says, Don't you be troubled. Don't pay any attention to false Christ. Don't pay attention to anybody that even comes and says they have a letter from me. Don't you remember what I told you when I was there? This Antichrist will not come. He that restraineth him must be taken out of the way before he can come to power. He won't even ride in on the white horse and take power before we're gone. We'll be up there. We'll come back in fine linen. I don't want to be here except behind the sword that goes out of his mouth, not in front of it. I don't want to be in bed with a man or a woman at that time. I don't want to be there anywhere in the field with anybody. I'm at the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's not a type of the rapture. We're gone. That's a gathering to the place of carcasses where the eagles gather. Some of you know, people have been amazed over the last 3-4 years. A strange phenomenon reported in Time magazine. Buzzards gathering around the plain of Megiddo. They don't know why the vultures are coming, but hordes of vultures around the plain of Megiddo. God slowly setting the stage for the end. But it's not all over, folks, for us. I've been saying for some weeks, you know, these passages in God's book read like Star Wars. But I fail as a preacher if it isn't beginning to come home in the constant weight of Scripture every Sunday. No private verse of Scripture made the basis of doctrine. From the mouth of Daniel, from the mouth of Joel, from the mouth of Zechariah, from the mouth of Ezekiel, from the mouth of Hosea, from John, God's book paints the picture of the future. You got to be awful stupid somewhere to not say, how could these mortal men in diverse places put the history of the world together in advance, unless there's a God behind it all? Now, God has said to those that accept His way of grace, ye are not appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. But somewhere you've got to make a decision. And I'm grinding to that point Sunday after Sunday, you who listen. Romans 10 says, the way of salvation no longer requires something super mystical. You don't have to go up and get God and bring Him down as though He has to do it in that way. You don't have to go down somewhere and get Him, bring Him up. The Word's already nigh you. It's in your mouth. Speak it forth. For with the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. How any man can see the Lord's control over the universe and over history and not give to the Lord control over His little personal universe, myself, is beyond me. Somewhere the convincing of Scripture has got to bring men and women past the point of curiosity to a statement like the one that Paul was made to make, turned around in his self-sufficient, serve-his-own-ends path. God said to him, why are you resisting me? Why do you kick against the goads of control? Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Christianity is acceptance of the Lord of history's right to be Lord of you and Lord of me. We have a hope, but the hope is to those that are in Christ. How do you get in Christ? Romans 8 makes it clear. You ask Him to come in and control you. And as simple as that, the spoken word of confession, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and take control of my life, begins the relationship and gives us the hope. It's not all over for us. There's a great day of wrath coming. Thank God I'll be on the winning side. I'd like all of you to be equally sure.